Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T.
And thank you guys for coming in and joining tonight at the last minute. I had to switch the days because, like I said, I'm leaving to go to Vegas well, tomorrow night. So it would have conflicted with the show had I waited till tomorrow night to go. I had to get the airport at 7 o'clock, so I decided to do it today because I still wanted to be able to chop it up with y'all, especially with everything that's going on. And Ronan is here. Ronan, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I am stayed tuned to the TV watching Grand Theft Rambo.
Man, this situation is crazy. So everybody's eyes have been glued to the television about this whole Chris Dorner situation. And basically today they're trying, well, as of not even, what, an hour ago? Because I was coming back from dinner when I called you, and you said that they had basically blew up the cabin and shot it up, and they just showed before and after pictures of the cabin. And it was just a normal, huge-sized cabin. Now it's literally burnt to the ground. So a lot of people are just, like, you know, in disbelief, like, why all this manpower? Why all of this just, you know, for one man? And like I said in my video, I don't agree with him, you know, taking a life, especially when you think about sins of a father. Because people's parents mess up and make mistakes. I don't want to be punished for my parents' mistakes, just like I wouldn't want my kids to be punished for my mistakes. But there's just too many things in this case that just don't sit well with me. So, Ronan, if you want to kind of elaborate, because we were talking about it earlier.
Well, basically, around approximately 12, 20 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the deputies received a report of a stolen vehicle in the location of Big Bear, California. And, you know, deputies and law enforcement went out there, and not far they found a burnt-out pickup truck. So, you know, they got reports about the suspect looking like Dorner. So once they heard all that, they all ran up in the forest. Well, he said he ran up in the forest and barricaded himself in a cabin. And the first exchange of gunfire occurred about 12:45 p.m. And it has been going on for quite some time. There was a police officer, like the wildlife officer, they pursued the vehicle, and then there was a shooting, like, the wildlife vehicle got hit several times, and the, you know, I think the suspect, who they think is Dorner, he escaped on foot. And so far, in the second exchange in San Bernardino County, there are two people who were shot. One died, the other one is expected to live, you know, after undergoing surgery. And there was an incident where the cabin caught on fire, and right now they're still waiting for the cabin to burn out before they start looking for the possible body of what's supposed to be Chris Dorner, and for the sake of safety of the area. So that's what's going on so far during the State of the Union address.
Right. And Brian is saying that they're even saying that he may use some smoke bombs to escape. You know, it's just, I feel really mixed with this story. Like I said, I don't agree with anybody, you know, being killed, but I definitely think that he's putting the racism and the prejudices and everything else that's going on with the LAPD, he's putting that on blast. I don't understand why they would put this much manpower into one person. I feel like he has dirt. He has a lot of dirt on the LAPD and on, you know, top, you know, lieutenants and captains and chiefs. He has a lot of stuff over these people's heads, because what kind of first made me wary of the situation was when a blue truck that supposedly resembled him, and it was being driven by two old ladies, and they didn't ask no questions. They just blasted the truck on sight and almost killed these two old women. I'm like, yo, what kind of dirt does he have on y'all that y'all would just blast the truck? Anybody could have been in that truck. You know, not necessarily Chris, and it ended up being two old women that almost lost their lives. And I even had subscribers emailing me and telling me that right now in certain places in Cali, it's hot. If you have a blue vehicle, it only has to be a pickup truck. If you have a blue vehicle, they're pulling you over, and, you know, they're shooting at people recklessly, and they're just being really, really brutal towards folks. And it's like, damn, all this for one man?
And I have a few friends and connections out there in L.A., and they were talking about basically people of color were scared, or they were fearful about even going outdoors due to, you know, the possible, you know, being shot
mistaken
at.
Mistaken identity, right.
You know, mistaken identity, because I think there was a few days ago in Torrance, California, there was a vehicle that got rammed, and they shot the shit out of it. And there was, like, two old women I think there's another person in there. And it's like, again, no one has said anything about that situation. But it makes you wonder, like, with all the crazy stuff that's been happening, you know, the incident in Colorado, you know the stage Sandy Hook mess, and a legion of things that take place in Chicago. How is it that you have $1 million bounty and you start sending drones after an individual without thinking this person either knows something or this is a little bit deeper than we care to think? I mean, you know,
right,
actually,
right. $1 million is a lot of money. I've never heard nobody giving up that $1 million bounty for one person before. Like, I don't remember any time in history where there's been $1 million bounty, you know, for
right.
one man. And then, like you said, they're sending out drones, and that's the part that got me bugging. Like, you know, when people think about drones, they think about drones being over there in Afghanistan and Pakistan and in Iraq. But, like, we've been saying all, you know, since we started the show, there's going to be a point in time when these drones start coming to the U.S., when there's going to be situations where they feel like they can just drop a drone on a criminal who just happens to be in your neighborhood, and then you end up getting messed up because they're looking for one man. You know, this is that situation now that they're going to send out drones for one guy. It's like, what kind of dirt does this man have? It's insane. And what's tripping people out? Brian in the chat room said that LL Cool J was scared. A lot of folks are saying that Chris Donner looks like LL Cool J, and he does. You know, after the Grammys was over, LL was like, I'm out of L.A., I'm laying low, I don't want to get mistaken for Chris Donner. LL wasn't trying to get shot. But, you know, the media, I was just sitting here watching Nancy Grace and Anderson Cooper. The mainstream media is almost appalled at how people on the Internet are supporting him. There's all types of fan pages. People are calling him the modern-day Django. People are saying that he's the Dark Knight. They're calling him the Chocolate Rambo, the Chocolate Superhero. And I'm talking about white folks are supporting him as well. Don't get it twisted. It's not just black people. Anonymous is supporting him. It's some people on Twitter that are, like, really, like, singing praises and saying, you know, it's about time that somebody, you know, stood up to the police and the brutality. Because a lot of times we think about the LAPD, NYPD, we think about it, you know, with racism. But a lot of people who are white also get abused and mistreated by the police as well. So let's not forget that. So the mainstream media is almost shocked. Like, I can't believe people are sticking up for this guy or defending this guy. And I don't think it's necessarily the defending him because, like I said, most of us don't support the fact that he killed innocent people. But I think a lot of people are just tired with the police corruption and the government corruption and all the drama that's going on. And like G. Stewart has said in the chat room, look at Occupy Wall Street. You know, it's just people are tired of the corruption. And I think a lot of black people who work in like now he's not in corporate, but who work in environments where like you're the only black person and you're, you know, you work around people of other races, like let's say you have mainly white people in your department, I think some people can really sympathize with what he went through with, like, the racist jokes and the racial insinuations and things like that. So I know that's some of the comments that I was reading online. How do you feel about the online support and stuff, Ronan?
Well, I have a lot of things running in my mind, especially what you put out there. I'm just, like, curious to see the people's thoughts on a link or two links that I put out in the chat room, because while this mess is going on, there's been things about authorization for the manufacturing of drones to be sent in pretty much in a local neighborhood near you. I found out Houston's on the list. There's a legion of other places, and it's going to be in schools and everything, so I think, personally, this is a training exercise of how to conduct the police of the future.
Right, and camera lady saying that's too close to home. Like, she's saying that one of the police departments are very close to her. So basically the link that Ronan put up, you can click on the link and it's going to show you what is it, police departments in your area are now authorized to release drones. You know, so that's a scary thought, because at the end of the day, police officers are just humans like anybody else. So what if a police officer wakes up on the wrong side of the bed? But what if he decides to go postal and instead of, you know, flipping out on his department, he decides to just push a button and release a bunch of drones and, you know, in the ghettos or on the south side or on, you know, in the shitty part of the neighborhood, he wants to wipe out, you know, low-income people. Like, you got to, I mean, I just think about stuff like that. That's just too much power for the police department to have. I think something like that should stick with the military and not your local law enforcement.
Well, I agree with that, and I do. But things are really going to get interesting because I personally believe they're probably going to start going after people who have military experience or have some kind of training to protect themselves. And people really need to pay attention to what's happening. They really need to stop being these cockeyed pacifists and thinking, like, you know, the Care Bears are going to come save us today. This is some real live shit going on. And, again, I'm just still curious as to what the police and everybody is doing with $1 million bounty to chase after a dude. They have to know. He has to know something. Something real serious, because you got other people who did some even more egregious acts. With that guy in Colorado, he did that silly ass shit and attacking people in the movie theater. No bounty such as like that, somewhere in the thousands or whatever. But he's got some dirt, and I think it reaches high up. It really does.
Right. You're right. I definitely think it's a lot deeper than, you know, what they're saying, and especially being that they're so, you know, gung-ho to get him, and they're willing to destroy anybody in their way. You know, like I said, with the women getting shot at, it's like that wasn't necessary at all. You know, the whole situation is just insane. But, yeah, he's garnered a lot of support. I don't know as of this moment if he's dead or not. They're waiting for the fire to cool down, and they're going to go in and go look for the bodies and stuff like that. What else was being said online? My mind just went blank. Oh, they were talking to the – oh, you can go ahead.
It's just been – says breaking news, fugitive ex-cop found dead. Awaiting news.
Oh, my gosh, that's what they have on the news right now?
Yes, it's on the news right now as I speak.
Why am I watching Lisa Lang in America? My DVR is reporting Lisa Lang. Change the channel back to CNN. And I was wondering why I was watching. It's on mute. I can't believe, so he is dead now. So it's official, breaking news on our show. He's dead. They killed him in that house. But he said in that manifesto that he was willing to die for his cause. He was willing to die for what he believed in. So I'm not shocked that he went out in a blaze of glory. But what's going to be more scary is if there's copycats. You know, if this sparks other people to start doing that and start trying to fight against, you know, their, you know, like racism and oppression and things like that. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see where this goes. You know, because he's one person, but a lot of people are able to sympathize with his cause.
Yeah, and it's just real interesting now. It's like I'm pretty sure they're going to be really expedient how to bury this dude that supposedly burned. But you know what? It's going to be real interesting if that isn't his body. Because,
right.
You know, again, it's kind of hard to take what the media says seriously nowadays because, you know, there's a lot of people who are awake. You got people in the chat room. You got people, you know, like ourselves for the most part. Again, what if he surfaces again? What do you do?
Right.
You know, he probably is in Mexico.
They're showing it right now, Nancy Grace, ex-fugitive, ex-cop found dead, awaiting news conference. Confirmed, Christopher Dorner dead. Now, somebody left a really interesting comment on my YouTube video that I did about him, and let me know what y'all think in the chat room. They basically said that they don't believe this story one bit. They believe that it was concocted by the media to start allowing drone strikes and to start, you know, it's just more of the whole thing against the Second Amendment and the guns. So they believe, like, this whole thing doesn't even exist. They think, like, the whole Christopher situation is fake, and it's just a way for them to start bringing drones into America and trying to get the American people to be comfortable with drone attacks. What do you think about that? Because I thought it was pretty interesting, the angle that person came from.
I can believe that because they're doing anything to have convinced people to give up the Second Amendment right. And once you give that up, that's when things really get interesting. I just saw that this whole thing, more or less, is damn near like the Grand Theft Auto movie. I thought it was San Andreas, the movie, but still, if they could do something like, you know, the whole Sandy Hook mess and other stage situations, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the same thing, if not worse. And the fact that you know, with the links that they've been shipping out, I mean, they've been approved to start manufacturing and start shipping out these drones to the city, and that says a great deal. Like, this is like some glorified distraction or mental masturbation, I call it. But, you know, that's why people have to really pay attention to the smoke and mirrors that's been put in front of us, personally.
Right, and that's what Camera Lady is saying, that this reminds her of the movie Enemy of the State, and it does. A lot of people are also saying that reminds them of The Fugitive, you know, and a bunch of other movies, Django. So a lot of people are saying that, so it's crazy. Now, did y'all see Charlie Sheen's plea to him to call him? Charlie Sheen is such an attention whore, but I'm not mad at him. He gonna do anything for Shine. Let me read to y'all what he wrote, I mean, what he said. He made a video basically addressing it to Chris, and he says, this was on Saturday, he says, "I'm urging you to call me. Let's figure out how we can end this thing. Let's figure it out together. Call me. I look forward to talking to you." It was a 16-second video. I was like, Charlie Sheen, if you don't sit your ass down somewhere.
Well, what the fuck are you going to do?
Right. You going to give him a place to stay? You hire your damn self.
You gonna chase him down that little Fiat? No one gives a fuck about that. Man, sit your ass on the corner.
Charlie Sheen just be wanting attention. I mean, but he was dead serious in the video. I mean, he was serious as tiger blood. Chris Dorner, please give me a call. You know, let's figure out how we can end this. Like, he was the president. I said, Charlie Sheen, I'm gonna need him to get his life. He
oh
stay losing. That was just too much. I was checking when I seen that. I was like, really? Lost cause. It's like anything fell off for him after he went on the Alex Jones show. It's like he went conspiracy crazy. That's when everything fell off for him. But it's going to be real interesting to see how this plays out. But I thought it was an interesting concept that the girl came up with when she said that she doesn't even believe that this whole situation is happening. She thinks everything's being manipulated by the media. And it's to the point, y'all, I just feel like I don't know what to think anymore. I really don't. Sometimes, like, just think about all the stuff that's been going on this past year, you know, in 2012, upwards until now. It's enough to just make your head just spin. Like, you don't know what the truth is anymore. It's like I'm looking at this burning cabin, and it's like, is he really in there? Did this man even really exist, you know? Did the situation even happen the way that they're saying that it happened? For all we know, this could have just been a big toy, and he's chilling in, you know, Cuba somewhere, puffing on a blunt. Is it? I don't know. Is it all too convenient with the manifesto and everything else? It's going to be real interesting.
It does make for good reality television. I can give them credit for that. If this was a script, they made one crazy-ass script because everybody was watching this, like, for days on end. But I don't know. I'm still bothered that no one has said anything about those people who were assaulted or even damn almost killed with the assumption of he was out there. So this really stinks personally.
Well, they just moved on to the next topic. Like, you know, our bad for shooting up your truck, but you're not dead, so moving on.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of breathed over it, you know, which is just crazy.
Well, there's something that we need to watch for is, like, see how things proceed from here on out. Like, as you said, like, you know, the disposal of the body, anything, how long this story will continue to last. You know, everything following this, it should be able to tell you a great deal of what's really happening.
Right, and that's what Sean was saying in the chat room, that they might throw him in the ocean like they did Osama. You know, they might bury him in the hills. You know, who's to say? You know, which is crazy. And then G. Stewart is saying it's like the Rodney King case. Will there be riots in L.A.?
Mm.
You know, the sad part with that, because y'all was talking about the L.A. riots earlier, and that happened when we was, like, what, like in fourth grade, fifth grade?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, we were short, like, you know, like third, fourth grade. And I didn't understand it back then, because, you know, you're a kid, you don't get it. I seen this stuff on TV, but I didn't understand the whole dynamic, you know, until I got older and I was reading up on it. And then when I went to L.A. last year, it was just crazy because I was in L.A., in the hood, right there, Florence and Normandy, where everything happened, and it's like, to look back 10, 11 years later, ain't shit changed. They didn't gain anything from the L.A. riots. Nothing changed. There's still no jobs in the community. There's still a lot of mess going on. There's still a lot of racial profiling, you know, drama with the LAPD. You know, we was out there, like, near the slots and swap meet, and, you know, there's just parts of L.A. that just look really, really horrible. And it's such a disparity, you know, such like a disparity because it's like, you know, I'm one part of L.A. and it just looks, I'm sorry, just disgusting, just horrible, dirty. And then you go across the damn freeway and it's Beverly Hills. And people are rolling around in Bentleys. And, you know, I don't understand how there's such a big, you know, difference in economics there. Like, you have people who are just so damn rich on Rodeo Drive, and then you go to the hood, and it's like people on the side of freeways just selling oranges, and, man, L.A. is crazy. But it's like those L.A. riots didn't help. It didn't help nothing at all.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it even made it worse.
Yeah. L.A. is a very interesting place. It is a ugly, dirty, beautiful place in the same breath. Very scenic, but you see the, you know, the overcast of smog there. It's one of the most diverse and segregated cities I've ever been in. And I mean, things have changed ever since the riots. I mean, I have people tell me about how things were burnt down and, I mean, how hectic it was and then how things happened, like with the, L.A. riots again. I mean, there's always been all kind of incidents that still go on to this day. That, you know, like it's just a nice place to visit, but very questionable to live there. But I don't know. It's like just with this incident and everything, I'm just questioning everything personally.
Yeah, right. It's like, you know, a lot of people in the chat room. Well, I guess there are a lot of West Coast people in the chat room. I didn't even realize that, but a lot of people live in L.A. and Cali, and you know, like I said, like I had a good time there. You know, as far as, like, being a tourist and just kicking it and stuff like that. But it was also sad, you know, because it's like the people there were so cool. Like, a lot of people that I met when I went to the restaurants and I was out in, like, where was I at? We went to this restaurant off of Crenshaw, and we were talking to the owner. She was just real down to earth. So I met a lot of really cool people in L.A., but like I said, it's such a struggle for just regular, everyday people. You know, you live in the damn hood and the projects and in these little one, two-bedroom apartments, and they're having the nerve to be charging them $1,400, $1,500 a month for rent. It's like, that's crazy. Anywhere else, like if you took that same amount of rent money and moved down to Georgia, you live in a big-ass house. You know, so it's like the economy there is just so horrible, and you have people who are just struggling, you know, just trying to make ends meet. And, you know, it's sad. Brian is saying that he's not going to lie. He's never been to the West Coast, and he wants to go one day. And, you know, it's cool, but nah, it's not. I don't know if it's easy finding jobs in L.A. Because a lot of people that I talk to that I know who live out there, it's hard for them. A lot of them have minimum wage jobs. So, you know, everybody's situation is different, but I know even some people who do make decent money, it's very expensive to live there too.
Yeah, the cost of living is pretty high in the son of a bitch. I remember apartments, and if you can find anything under $1,000, that's pretty close to the hood. It depends on where you stay. The cost of living is a cold son of a bitch.
Did you live in L.A.?
Yeah, I lived there for 2 years, and I love like waking up and seeing the very scenic view of L.A. I mean, it's like you get, like I said, I like diversity, and you get plenty of it over there. And especially like when you go to the beach, it's very therapeutic. However, it costs to do whatever.
Right, like just the park. It was $10 to park. I'm like to walk to the beach.
Yeah.
We had to pay $10 to park, and then we was parked, like, after we go to Ventura Beach. So we had to park, I'm talking about blocks from the beach, and then walk up. It was crazy. It's like they were going to charge you just to park in the parking lot to go to Target. I'm like, they charge for everything in L.A. They was bugging for real. I was like, this is just too much. Everything was so dramatic.
And you're not even factoring gas. You know, when,
right.
When I was there, it was like damn near $5 at one point. I'm like, man, I got to get the hell out of here. I mean, I'm kind of sad to have left it, but, again, my pockets are more appreciative of it, so it's just too much.
Right. You know, but it's like that in a lot of cities, too, you know, unfortunately, where things, you know, not just L.A., but I think because L.A. is so populated, that's where the issue comes in from. But you have a lot of cities where people are just really struggling to make ends meet, trying to work, trying to pay their bills, and it's like you're just barely keeping your head above water.
Yeah. And it's not uncommon for people to have roommates over there, like just like New York.
Right.
That's how you maintain. It's like they have ads on different media sites, especially like I think it's like Recycler, or they had it on the Craigslist where you look for, you know, people to like cut the cost of the rent, you know, in order to maintain. So, you know, aside from, you know, the massive population there, that's how people manage to, you know, I guess, maintain themselves as far as living. But, you know, I think a lot of times you do pay for location because possibly one side of the street costs a little bit less than the other one because of either it's near a famous landmark or actually closer to the beach or it's in a certain area, in a certain neighborhood. It's ridiculous.
Right. It's insane. It really is. You know, but I'm glad that, you know, everybody in the chat room who is from L.A. and who's from Cali and stuff like that, like Roshani was saying, she's keeping her head above water. She's good. She knows God, and God's been helping her out, so she hasn't had to struggle as much. But, you know, I have friends who do live out there, and it has been a struggle. You know, I've known girls who went out there for modeling gigs. You know, everybody wants to be a model or actress. So, you know, they go out to L.A. and they find out it's not all it's cracked up to be, and they end up moving back. You know, they end up moving back home a year or two later. You know, because
yeah.
It's so hard and it's such a struggle, you know, so it's crazy, but every city has their story. You know, every city definitely has their story.
Well, actually, it is tougher in L.A. because you have to understand the definition of competition there, because damn near everybody from everywhere is going to be there, so you might be fine from the Midwest, but once you get to L.A., that's another notch, several notches sometimes. It just all depends.
Right.
And they're very superficial about stuff, so if you don't have that look, you better look to get that plane ticket back to where you came from.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're saying in the chat room. Everybody in L.A. wants to see a model and an actress, and that's because y'all got Hollywood right there in your backyard. So you get the people who are cool and down to earth, but then you get the fake people. You know, where, you, like, when you just talk to them, like, I just want to have a conversation with you. And it's like, yeah, and I'm a model, and I'm an actress. I didn't even ask you that. You know what I'm saying? I just want to know where is the best restaurant to go out to eat.
Instagram
does not count.
But I have
a contact for you. You know, it's crazy.
I was just sitting there telling them, Instagram does not count. It doesn't make you a model.
Everybody's a model nowadays. Everybody is.
That's
as long as you
show.
Can just take an Instagram picture, you're a model.
No, that's a whole other show.
That's funny. Yeah, that is a whole other show, I swear.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Roshani said that she met a model from San Francisco, and she was saying that the competition is fierce because she's not willing to do nudity and anybody else is willing to, and I can attest to that. That is very true. You know, but it depends on the type of modeling you're trying to do. You know, if you're just trying to do, like, regular catalog print work, you don't want to get involved in nudity. You know, but a lot of girls say that that's the way to go, and then they get typecast. Because once everybody has seen your goods, no one cares. They've seen them. You know, you can only do so many Smooth magazine covers, so many King magazine covers, and then you've left nothing to the imagination. Everybody has seen you. We all know what you look like outside your clothes. You know, whereas if you get booked for, like, campaigns and you do catalog and print work, you know, you can always reinvent yourself. So I think that's where a lot of people mess up, is they think, like, to model, they have to take off all their clothes and show everything. And a real agency is not going to take nobody who is out here modeling, taking naked pictures on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. It's not going to work because we can't people don't want to see the girl from Smooth Magazine trying to sell, you know, backpacks and sneakers and stuff like that in a regular commercial market. It's how they break it down. So it's like you got to be really careful with your brand and what you put your face on and the way you expose yourself, put yourself out there. So, I just would never be willing to compromise myself as far as that, you know, just for the fact that I have boys. You know, it's one thing to dress sexy. It's one thing to take sexy pictures, you know, but for me personally, I don't think I could do the nudity thing. You know, I've been asked, but that's not me. That's just not for me. You know, my mom would cuss me the hell out. My mom's Muslim, so it's like, you know, I got to hear her mouth when I wear, like, a mini skirt. She would go off on me. She'd see me, you know what I'm saying? It's some Playboy, some mess like that. Like, that's, you know, that's not for me, but to each his own. I don't knock nobody. You know, if you love it, you know, if you like it, I love it. You know, but you can't get upset, though, when you get typecast. Like, nobody's going to take you seriously if you're known from the chick, you know, who does booty shots or does booty magazines, but now you want everybody to look at you like a philosophical scholar. No one's going to look at you like that. They're going to keep looking at you like you're that booty girl. You're that booty magazine girl from King Magazine, point blank. So it's like whatever image you put out there is how people are going to look at you.
Oh, goodness. You know, I just read something on here, something about a little Wayne lyric, pretty much, and it's got people pissed off about it. It said something like something very disparaging about Emmett Till. He said he'll beat the pussy up like Emmett Till. Now,
he said that. Trifling ass.
And aside from that being an intentional nigga moment, that comment was not only called for, but it is tasteless because in the manner that he was murdered, dude, I mean, you could have came up with something better than that. Much better.
G. Stewart said, fuck Lil Wayne. I can't stand his ass. I hope his career dies soon. You know, I don't know what to say about Lil Wayne. So what song was this on? I didn't even hear this song yet.
This song is called, let me see here. Dang it.
So he's saying beat the pussy up like Emmett Till?
Yes.
And it's Black History Month, really?
Yes. Yes.
But look at Brian Quimby saying, I bet you these fools still will support him after all is said and done. You know, it's crazy. You know, I don't get it.
Yeah. It's
one thing to be lyrical and come up with your own little lyrical content and try and be witty and funny, but certain things, you know, you still want to be tasteful with it.
Nah, but, well, fuck him. Now,
he's moving on.
Yeah, could you tell us about the situation with the funeral with Hadiah and, you know, that situation?
Okay. Yeah, what happened with that? Is I was telling you that yesterday, that the boys who supposedly shot and killed her, they confessed. What happened is that they had put out an award for $40,000. So I think somebody from their gang turned them in. From what I'm hearing, it got really, really hot in that area of Chicago. And when it gets hot and the police are pulling over every car and people can't move their work and do their dirt, you're going to have to say something. And I think it was kind of like what happened with the little Yummy situation. If y'all remember anything about Lil Yummy, the little boy who got killed, we were shorties when this happened. Tupac always had pictures of him and stuff in interviews, like in the background. He was a little 11-year-old. No, was he 11 or was he 9? No, Lil Yummy was 11.
Yeah,
he was 11. He was like one of the most hardcore little gangbangers. And if you guys ever read up on the story of Lil Yummy, but he was born to a mother who was like, she was like 28, had like 11 kids or some shit like that. She had a bunch of kids. He was out running the street. He was gangbanging. I think he was a BD. He had shot and killed a 14-year-old boy. Then he shot and killed the 14-year-old girl. And it had made headlines because there was so many kids dying in Chicago. This was like in the early 90s. And so anyways, the black guy had, they told these two brothers that he was really close with, because everybody was looking for Yummy. And it was like the gangs couldn't do what they needed to do, and it was just so much going on at that time that they set up these brothers and they told him, you know, y'all have to give to this little boy. So little Yummy ends up getting killed by his own gang members. So that's what this kind of situation kind of reminds me of. I feel like they probably made them confess or told them, you know, y'all going to have to give yourselves up because, you know, it's just so hot right now because now the government is involved. People got Obama, you know, are petitioning to have Obama come to the funeral, and it was crazy. So finally the two dudes came out, they confessed. One is 18, and I think the other guy is 21 years old, you know, and I couldn't do nothing but shake my head because it was so pointless. And then when they asked them why did they do it, the boy said that supposedly he thought that Hydea was with some rival gang members. But to me, my personal opinion, like I said before on previous shows, I feel like a lot of these kids are killing each other just to see how it is to kill somebody just to get stripes. They said Hydea was standing at the bus stop with a bunch of girls. There was one boy in the mix, and he was not a gang member. They had just got done with one of their major tests from school. These were school students. You know, you can tell the difference between some kids who are waiting at the bus stop, you know, and they're getting off of school, and some kids who've been sitting at the bus stop all day who don't have nothing else better to do but hang around and loiter. You can tell the difference. And so that's what I'm thinking, like, he's not being truthful when he said that he felt that she was with his rival gang. Like, it was a bunch of little girls out there. You know, I feel like they shot into that crowd, you know, trying to get a name for themselves, trying to get some stripes, and they end up killing this girl. You know, so it's crazy, and I think because the heat came down so hard on their gang that they forced those two boys to go and fess up, because that's what happens. That's what happens in that lifestyle. Because now you prevent us from doing what we got to do, and you prevent us from making money. So you're going to tell, we're going to kill you. So I think that's what happened, and that's why they came out and they finally admitted to what they did. Michelle Obama ended up going to the funeral. She was there. And, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, why didn't Obama go? He should have went. We petitioned for him to go. You know, why would he send Michelle? You know, you can't please everybody. So she went, and Rahm Emanuel was there. So he was there as well. They didn't speak at the funeral because, you know, they didn't know her per se. So, but they did go there to show their respect, which I thought was nice. But, you know, I also think about it, too, like, okay, I understand them going, and I understand the whole, you know, the nation being concerned because she was at the inauguration. But then I think about that mother whose child was selling lemonade. I think about that mother whose son was just walking home from school. Maybe he wasn't a straight-A student. You know, maybe, you know, he was just barely hanging on, but he was trying to do the right thing, and who's going to go to their funerals? Who's going to petition to have the, you know, so now the Obama's going to go to every funeral for every child that dies? What makes one child's death, you know, different from another child's death? So I respect her for going, but, you know, I still feel bad for any child that has to lose their life, especially for over something so senseless and stupid. This little girl is gone. She was a very bright student. She was a good friend. People spoke highly of her, you know, and this girl's life is gone for no reason, other than because somebody, you know, thought she was with some gang members, which is I don't believe that at all.
No, I don't believe it either. I'm at a loss for words with this one.
Brian in the chat room is saying that a lot of gangsters have no honor anymore. There's no street cred in killing innocent people. You know, it's insane. Jamal is saying that people are forgetting that Obama is the president. He's very busy. Shamira, hey, girl. I've seen her come in. She's saying that Obama is supposed to have a conference tonight about the shooting. Thomas said he did. He had a whole conversation. You know, and I didn't get to see the conference. I was out to dinner with the boys because I'm leaving tomorrow. So me, my guy, his kids, my kids, we all went out to dinner. So I didn't get to see the conference. But, you know, I don't think it's about, you know, honor anymore or street cred. You know, these kids are just doing stuff just to do it, just to say they did it. Just like that, the kids, I don't know if y'all heard about this. I forgot what state it happened in. I don't want to say Chicago. I don't think this was in Chicago. But basically, these kids had followed, it was a boyfriend and girlfriend. They had a little girl together. It was a white dude. He was a young white boy, probably like 23, 24. These were some young kids, 14 years old. They were messing with him from the corner store. They were walking from the corner store, and they kept asking the guy, like, you know, yo, buy some cigarettes, get us some Black and Milds. And he was like, nah, I'm not buying y'all nothing. Y'all are like 14. I'm not, nah. So he was walking out going towards his house. So they get in front of this man's house, and the lady is there with the little girl, with the daughter, whatever. And so they're talking shit to her boyfriend, you know, like going in on him, just disrespecting these little 14-year-old kids. So she says, you know, won't y'all go get a job? You know, he doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't need to buy y'all cigarettes. Go get a job. And one of the kids pulled out a gun and shot her dead in the face and killed that lady right there instantly in front of her boyfriend and her daughter, her two-year-old daughter. You know, it's just, and then after they did that, mind you, they took the gun that they killed this woman with and then took pictures of themselves posing with the gun and posted on Facebook, and that's how they got caught. They were caught within hours.
Yeah.
You know, so there is no, they're doing it for street cred. I'm telling y'all, these kids are doing it just to be doing it now. Now it's just the cool thing, just like popping mollies or just like smoking a blunt. It's almost like people have become so desensitized to death and just drama and destruction that people are just doing it, just be doing it. You know, that story broke my heart because all she told them was to get a job. That's all she said. She didn't cuss them out. She didn't call them out their name. And telling somebody to get a job and pay for your own cigarettes once getting shot in the face in front of your child, that's some sick shit.
It is. And, again, like, this is the comment was made that with the politics, I mean, even when gangsters back then, they did have a certain politics where they did certain things. They carried out certain ways. They didn't allow what they call business to spill out into the civilian population. But now it's any and everything. Everybody's reckless. You know, it's like now initiation is you can kill a random person just to get in or to prove your worth. So it shows you a great deal of how much we've fallen as a society and how we continue to fall.
Right. And Shamara's saying that it's all about that YOLO life. You know, you only live once. Camera lady's saying these kids are dumb as rocks. And Jamal is saying that I think kids nowadays don't expect any repercussions for their actions. And, you know, it's true. It's almost like they don't have a sense of reality anymore. And I don't know if that's from social networking or from the TV or what it is, but it's almost like back when we were younger, like, you knew if you just did some dumb shit, like, you knew, like, there were consequences for your action, even if you chose to do dirt. You knew that if you were going to be out here slinging, selling dope, whatever, and you got caught, then you knew that you were going to go do time. If you got caught with a QP, you were going to do some type of time. But now these kids, act really shocked. Like, what? I can go to jail for shooting somebody, or I can go to jail for, you know what I mean? Like, what makes you think that you can just do dirt and do stuff and there's no consequences for your actions? Just like that stupid-ass boy who beat his girlfriend. Remember that basketball player? And he had to dance to the fainting court? It's like, so you beat the shit out your girlfriend, I mean, whooped her like she was a dog, drug her all through that, you know, that apartment lobby, beat the hell out of her, and then when he got sentenced to 3 years, it's like he was in disbelief. Like, yo, there's consequences for your actions. You can't go around beating up on people, especially your girlfriend in the manner that you did, and then just think that nothing's supposed to happen to you because you're a ball player.
Yeah.
You know, have fun dribbling them balls in your mouth when you in prison. I'm just
saying,
have fun dribbling them balls, because that damn basketball career is over. You know, it's like, man, these kids don't have no consequences no more, and it's just frustrating. Like, they don't get it. I'm for real. Get down and low, dribble. Like a Campbell.
Tickle, tickle, mafia.
But really, he was stupid. He said, you know, saying it past, I was like, what? I gotta go do time? I mean, he was in tears, fainted and everything.
Oh, my God.
You weren't in tears when you was beating the hell out there, girl. And then the crazy part is the bitch was sitting here sticking up for him. Like, bitch, he whooped your ass. I'm more mad than you are. And she's sitting here crying, you know, just because he could possibly make it into the, you know, the NBA or whatever. And she's crying, trying to defend the bullshit.
Well,
you know,
it's
just crazy.
She was trying to get that payday. Like, I'll take an ass for a check.
Well, it's almost like the Chris Brown and Rihanna situation everybody keeps talking about. That's causing so much controversy. You seen them at the Grammys together? All snuggled up.
Yeah, you know what? They're going the extra mile to keep hounding and harassing this dude. It's like, look, that happened when he was back, what, 19? This dude's in there 23 right now. So, you know, y'all just need to do yourself a favor and get off this dude's nuts. Just let this dude do what he does. He's already making a mistake, personally, you know, dealing with a chick that sat there and turned, you know, pretty much put him out there, you know, at that time. But if they're going to sit there and fuck around and be with each other, if they're happy, so be it. There are other fuckers out there that you guys can harass. I mean, it's like there's plenty of retards that you can fuck with. So, just leave them fuck alone, personally.
Like I said, I've been over it. If he hits you again, don't you dare make no video with Diane Sawyer crying and shit. I don't want to hear it.
Hell
If he beats her and punches her in her forehead again, oh, well, and, you know, you done took him back. Y'all's happy together. Cool. It's not my business. Charlie Sheen done shot his bitch. Ain't nobody said, don't nobody ever mention that. Charlie Sheen done beat up his girlfriend, shot his girlfriend.
Well,
he's still popular.
Yeah, they ain't seen nothing about that.
They don't
ever
go on Charlie.
And he has a nerd to get on this 16-second video talking about, yeah, I'll go help find dude. Man, choke yourself, fucking dickhead.
He's a trip. You know, like, I feel like the whole Chris Brown Rihanna situation, I'm over it. They're to me, it doesn't matter how much money you have, a hood booger is a hood booger. They remind me that hood booger couple in the hood who fight all the time. The boyfriend whoops her ass, and then she goes back to him. And the one time you try and get involved and try and help them out, the boy, you know, her and the boyfriend starting to whoop your ass.
Yeah.
You know, Nope, you gotta let them be. You gotta let them be. You know, I don't trip off of them anymore as far as them being together. I could care less. You know, she likes it. I love it. Now, I did find it funny. He was going in on him that he didn't stand up for Frank Ocean. So a lot of folks were pissed off about that. They're like, we finally let him back into the Grammys, and then he wanted to come in here being all cocky and condescending because everybody else stood up. Because what did he get, like Album of the Year or Song of the Year or something like that? So the whole Grammy place is standing up, and they're painting on Chris Brown. Chris Brown just sitting there looking.
Well, he has every right to. I mean, what's the point? You know.
Well, that's all I understand. Like, if they're not friends, they're not. You can't make me stand up and cheer for my enemy. They fought last week. If I don't like you, I wish you well in life, but I'm not about to give you a standing ovation. Bitch, you kick rocks. Hope you trip walking up the Grammy stage.
Yeah, man. I hope you get hit by a bus and glitter fly out. I don't give a fuck.
Chris Brown sat there like, and? Yeah, I mean, that's not his friend. I didn't understand why people were shocked that he didn't get up. Like, who gives a shit? I wouldn't, I mean, let me be honest, like, if that was, like, somebody that you just got done, you was in a fisticuff with them not even a week ago, would you stand up? Hell no.
Hell no. I'd throw some shit at them.
Better not throw no shit, get dirt out the damn Grammys. Clean up on our whore. Somebody's down there throwing shit.
I would talk shit at the Grammys if I won the award. I said, yeah, I'd like to thank everybody. And, I want to send this out to that punk ass bitch in the second row. I'd call him out. I wouldn't care.
Right, and bi headed bitch, what up, girl? She's in the chat room. She's making some good points. She said Rihanna and Chris Brown situation just goes to show you no matter how much money and fame you have, you cannot buy self esteem. Rihanna could damn near have any man she wants, but she wants Chris Brown. Amen to that, because Chris Brown has fallen off. He looks like all he do is sit around all day and pop Molly's.
Molly time.
He just sits around and be like, pop Molly Monday, pop Molly Tuesday, pop Molly Wednesday. It just looks dusty now. He don't look like the same little, you know, cute little Chris Brown that was out a few years ago. He just like he's just been through, I don't know, he's been through a lot. That's all he do is just sit around and pop them. Look, everybody's agreeing like he's just saying, she said he look like a damn skeleton. He's just gotten really skinny. He looks, I don't know, he looks bad. And she be high as hell, too, half the time. So I don't know. I feel like they just deserve each other. She could have any man out there, but she wants Chris.
Well, hey, again, like, even if her daddy says she's a little off and... you know, if he's with that, that's all on him. I couldn't be with no chicks in there scratching and acting a fool in the car. There'd be a misunderstanding. Your ass would get drugged under the car or something. But, it's his choice. He chooses to be with her, that's it. There ain't nothing I can really say.
Right. I just feel like they're grown. You know, that's on them. You know, it's just people do it all the time in real life. I mean, keep it real. Y'all know, some of y'all have friends who will go back to their abuser. You know, so I stopped getting involved in relationships. I had a friend like that who used to get her ass whooped, and I tried to jump in one time because I was so shocked that her baby's father, you know, like, swung at her. You know, while I'm over there at the house, they was arguing my son. He, like, swung at her, and I'm like, yo, I jumped up, like, what are you doing? And he looked like he was about to swing on me. All right, well, I got to go. You're not about to whoop my ass. Bye. You call me later. I said, when you decide to get rid of him, holler at me. You know, like, people are crazy. People are for real crazy. And you know, like Clockwork, she was right back with him. They're no longer together now. But it's like it took her so long to get out that relationship. And this was somebody who was, like, beating her ass, like, all the damn time. And, you know, love will make you do some stupid, strange things. That's why I'm like, I don't understand why people act, especially black folks, stop acting so shocked like y'all ain't never seen somebody go back to a fucked up situation like this before. We see it all the time in the neighborhood.
Well, hey.
It ain't right, but it happens, you know?
And they'll fight
and
you.
That's the sad part is she has the resources. Like, you know, a lot of girls who end up in them situations where, like, you know, they're in abusive situations, it's like they're kind of stuck. They don't have the resources to just up and leave. Because a lot of times the man is controlling a lot of things, or he's the breadwinner, or she's not working, or she's stuck with the kids. But this broad has money. You know, so she can definitely leave, and she can make it where she never sees him again, but obviously she loves him, or, you know, she's stuck on him. He got some good pain. I don't know.
I think she's addicted to the ratchet shit because, again, if he sanctions that stuff, and plus when you have couples in that situation, you have to, you know, kind of use that term loosely, they will fight you over that person who's beating the dog shit out.
Right.
I'll never understand
right. They'd be ready to box you, you know, trying to, you know, give them encouragement and let them know. That's why I don't get involved in people's relationships. You know, even if somebody asks for advice, I give advice, but still, I'm limited. I don't get involved in it because as soon as some shit goes down, four sets of eyes are looking at you like you done did something.
Mm-hmm.
I let people figure their own shit out.
Hey, don't come to my door with a black eye, you know, say, he hit me again. Oh, shit, you just did that shit last Friday. But y'all do what y'all do. Put a stake on him.
Right, I don't get it. Uh-uh, no, you didn't, Thomas. You can't hop out of beat, man. That was my movie, Color Purple. All my life I has to fight. I can't stand my chat. Y'all calling the whole movie, I have to fight my brothers, my uncle. I'll be damned if I fight my own house. That was the movie for real, though. That's why Oprah was big. That was a big old Color Purple Oprah. Man, but Oprah went hard in that movie. She did.
She looked
She's
hard.
She's a superstar
then.
Now, though. Yeah, she did. She did her thing. She came to that damn cornfield like, bitch, I should beat your ass. You told Harper to beat me.
She
wants to knock that lady out, Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, she can take off the makeup on because she's looking pretty bad right now.
Who, Oprah?
Oprah.
Oprah's old. Leave Oprah alone. She's a grown woman.
She's like a balled up Kroger bag. She's just all fucked up right now.
Man, it is crazy. It is crazy the stuff that's going on out here. So now, what do you think about the whole situation, y'all, with Gucci Mane and Shawty Low going to Career Day? Did you hear about that?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
They want to go teach Career Day, and parents in Atlanta were in an uproar. Shawty Low went to some type of private school, and Gucci Mane was at the school teaching kids. I don't know what was said because nobody has really said what Gucci Mane came to teach them, but he was there for a career day, and a lot of folks were really upset about that. Would you allow Gucci Mane to teach your child? Anything.
Fuck no.
Burn.
Gucci Mane and Shorty Low at Career Day, that shows the kids the glimpse of their possible future. I would skip school from that point on.
Like I said, I really hope Shorty Low was there to talk about Safe Sex and not how to make all the baby mamas.
You know he wasn't.
That's
there
the only
that.
Thing he'd be over there talking about.
He about the last person to talk about Safe Sex. Come on now.
They need to do something, but yeah, they said that they said parents were hot. They was in the news, you know, that did the little news clip, and they're basically saying that it's weird that this has always happened in Atlanta, where these school systems are inviting rappers to come in and talk. Just like a few years ago, they had T.I. going and talk for his community service or whatever. But they're like, okay, you got mayors. You have so many people. Atlanta has one of the highest populations of educated black people. Why are they not having these people with degrees or, you know, educated people go down and talk to the kids? Why are y'all having these rappers, especially not even rappers like, let's say, like a Kanye West or a Common or Lupe Fiasco? Y'all got rappers like Gucci Man, like ratchet rappers coming in and talking to the kids.
Now, come on, T. We can't have, you know, positive role models out there and people can possibly change the future and make things better than they are now. You think you need change of thinking now. That's not right.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like, well, okay, so now what's to stop the whole Housewives of Atlanta from coming up to the schools like they're saying in the chat room and coming and talking? You know, but part of it, though, let's look at it like this. A lot of these kids do look up to rappers. Let's keep it real. A lot of them look up to Lil Wayne and Gucci Mane and stuff like that. So why not have those type of rappers go to the school and talk to the kids? Because maybe they'll get the message better if it's coming from a Gucci Mane as opposed to No Name Man that we ain't never heard from with a tie and a suit on. What you think about that?
Oh, God.
But, I mean, that's what people are saying. That's people's rebuttal. You know, I got called a hater. Like, you're just hating on Gucci Mane. Fuck you. Really? I'm not hating on him.
No.
I didn't even diss him in the video. I just said, you know, this is what it was. But the people who are rebutting and saying that Gucci Mane should be allowed to speak to the kids, they're saying that he should be allowed to speak to them because kids look up to Gucci Mane. You could tell that person really looked up to Gucci because for you to cuss people out who have a different opinion says a lot, especially over Gucci Mane. But that's what they're saying, that basically kids would rather listen to Gucci Mane as opposed to somebody, you know, who's just some well-to-do guy in Atlanta or just some college student.
If you go to Career Day and you see some motherfucker with an ice cream cone tattooed on his face, in your mind, what can you seriously take from that conversation? Seriously. There's nothing you can tell me. It's unless I was into a tattoo, the field of tattoo parlors and all that stuff, I'm not trying to hear it. I'm really not.
I wish I knew what he talked to them about, though. That's what he was trying to figure out. Like, what did he talk to them about? Like, what did he say?
The kids don't know.
They're just happy to have Gucci Mane in their presence. But now Waka Flocka, like I said in the video that I made, Waka Flocka made some really good points. You know, because he said he's gone up to the schools to talk to kids, but he didn't make a show out of it. He didn't take pictures. He didn't post anything. He said that's something that you're supposed to do if you're going to try to honestly help the kids, go out there and go do it. You shouldn't be, you know, trying to do it to get fame or get attention. But then he was also saying, too, like, he said he doesn't think that rappers and athletes should be going up to the schools to talk to kids because then what happens is that kids end up feeling like that's what they want to do when you don't need an education to be a rapper. You know, anybody can be a rapper. So he was saying, like, a lot of really good stuff on the Breakfast Club.
Well, actually, to be an effective lyricist, you do need to go to school. You have people like Kumo D and Eric B. I mean, like Rakim and KRS-One and a legion of others who were, like, really cerebral, like Lupe Fiasco, real cerebral about their material. They didn't have to stay in that small shoebox of, you know, saying you're selling dope and, you know, you're pimping hoes and then, you know, you're praising God at the end of the CD and you ain't going to do all of that. You're much more diverse with your skills. If you have that lyrical ability, then do it. You know, but the again, some of the most successful ones, as you know, Ballhead said, don't go to school. They're not limited to that.
Right, you don't need to go to school to be a rapper. You don't necessarily have to go to school to be an entertainer. And that's why I said I felt like for Career Day they should bring in more people behind the scenes that work in the music industry, like the producers and the engineers and the, you know, the lighting, the people who deal with the lighting and the sound equipment. I think if you're going to get into music, let's show the whole aspect of it, not just necessarily the people on the forefront. Because, yeah, you see Gucci Mane, you see Nicki Minaj, but you don't realize these people have a whole team behind them. You know, you have a person who's making the beats and who's, you know, who's the editor, the sound director. You have a lot of people behind them. So I definitely think that they should, you know, they should invite other people behind the scenes to come in for Career Day as well.
Yeah. And there's different paths to where you need to be, but you need to connect with the right mentors to help guide you and shape you, actually give you the right information to help you find the best direction to your calling. I mean, again, when it comes to certain avenues or certain characteristics, especially in the industry nowadays, all you have to do is rap about bullshit, and you probably, you know, have a tight beat, and you'd be cool. But for longevity purposes, you need more depth. That's just my personal opinion.
Is that a dog in the background?
Yeah, that's mine. And my ever since.
Well, you have got some sound effect going on.
No, I mean.
Some sound effects going on.
No, see, she, my dog was cool until you started mentioning Gucci Mane. She got pissed off. She's barking her ass off. So she didn't like it.
She wants to lick that ice cream cone. That's all.
No, she don't. She won't eat that thing.
Brian said that Chris Donner is on your porch. That's why the dog is barking. Oh, my goodness. Y'all are a mess.
Okay.
The girl said you actually need an education to be a rapper. Because how are you going to write your rhetoric or so? No, you don't need an education to be a rapper.
No.
No.
You don't.
I think rapping is something that more or less comes from feeling. You know, like just emotions, things you've been through, stuff like that. I don't think you need an education to rap. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I remember writing poetry when I was, like, in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I didn't have no, I was in the sixth grade. I didn't have no education. I think a lot of it just comes from feelings and being able, you know, wordplay and stuff like that. It's definitely a lot of work. It's not easy. I would never say that, you know, being in the studio and, you know, just doing everything that people do to make an album is easier. It's just something that's just simple. You know, a lot of people have natural talent, and some people's talents are, you know, bought, paid for, and they're a package. But I don't think it's anything that you need to be educated to do.
I agree with you.
Yes, there's 22 minutes left of the show. The show's gone by quick already once again. It always flies by, though. It always flies by when we're having fun. It's been so much craziness going on out here. It's insane. Who watched Rihanna's new video? I heard that she got completely nude in the video. I haven't seen it. People have been sending it to me. I ain't gotten a chance to check it out yet.
I'll do some research.
I bet you will. What? Rihanna's naked. Can't wait to research this one. Now I'm gonna check it out. I haven't seen it yet though.
I haven't heard much of it, but I'll see what's happening. I mean, again, not really heard too much of Rihanna's being outside of radio, but you know, still, yeah, I think she's pulling another Erykah Badu. I mean. I'm going to reserve my comments on that one. But I will say that I thought it was real interesting, like if we take it back a few, not too long ago, that it was pretty funny how Beyonce kicked Kelly and Michelle off the stage real smooth. Like, it was real comical.
Oh, yeah, they're still talking about that. And then they're talking about Keisha Cole, somehow she's still going in on Michelle, and she said that Michelle was the one who attacked her first. So that's why she said what she said about Michelle on stage. But I'm not buying it. Because like I said, to this day, nobody has been able to pull up anything that Michelle Williams has said about anybody, let alone Keisha Cole. So I don't know why Keisha even said that. Keith Stewart said, Keisha, your career is dead.
Hey, T?
Uh-huh.
Who'd you say Michelle was getting attacked by?
Keisha Cole.
Who's that?
You are such a mess. You know damn well who Keisha Cole is. We talked about her last week.
She was
Frankie's
on Milk
daughter.
Carton. She Frankie's was on Milk
daughter.
Carton, right?
Yeah, Frankie's daughter.
The chick on the milk carton?
Keisha's still hot. She got a lot of followers. She's got issues right now. She's mad at Michelle for some reason. So now there's this crazy story. I don't know if you guys have heard of this yet, but there's an 8th grade teacher who was suspended for emptying out. Do you know how, like, when you have a pencil sharpener and you sharpen your pencil and it's in that little cup? Basically, I guess the little boy was acting wild. So the teacher had him open up his mouth, and she stuffed the pencil sharpener and dumped all the contents in his mouth. So the shavings from the pencil, and she made him eat it.
What kind of shit is that?
This is what he said. She said, and then he says he was sitting quietly in class, so I don't know. But he's saying, I was sitting in class, and I had my head tilted back and my mouth open, and the teacher came over and started pouring pencil shavings in my mouth. The 13-year-old said that he spit it out and headed to the nurse's office to wash his mouth out. His mother, Deidre Brown, said that she called the school and was very livid. She's like, I wanted to cry because I was like, how could she do that? What kind of message is it sending out to the kids?
Well, what's that supposed to do? Pencil shaving the mouth. What's that supposed to teach that child?
I don't know. They said that she was suspended, but she should be fired.
She need her ass kicked.
But for what I'm seeing, it's just I don't get it. I don't get it. It's almost like some of these teachers are like on this power trip as well. And like I said, I can always understand it from the teacher's point of view as well, because a lot of these kids are off the chain. You know, they have horrible attitudes. The parents are even worse. You know, you got parents who come to the school trying to beat up the teachers, and the teachers are just trying to do nothing but do their job. But in this situation, I want to know why the teacher felt the need to do that. Not justifying it, but why. Like, what was he doing that she felt that she had to do that? Just like the teacher a few years ago who had cut out that little girl's hair. She had beads in her head, and she kept playing with them and shaking her head. You know, when you shake your head and beads, they be clicking and stuff.
Yeah.
And the teacher got mad and was like, you need to stop shaking your head. I'm tired of that noise. And the little girl did it one more time, and she went and cut her hair. She cut off one of her braids.
Boy.
And like people said, the teacher got suspended, but that's assault. If I was to go out here and just cut some girl's hair because I didn't like her hairstyle, I didn't like the fact that her damn weave was getting on my nerves, that'd be assault. You can't go around just cutting people's weaves and their hair and their braids. Like, you know, you can't do that. So I don't understand why a lot of these teachers, you know, it's like, I think part of it is the teachers union, because they always seem to get suspended, but you can rarely ever fire a teacher, even the bad ones.
Why not?
Because of teachers union. It makes it very hard for teachers to get fired. Very hard. Yep, because the teachers union protects even bad teachers. Because they rather blame it on the families and on the kids as opposed to, you know, making the teachers responsible for the stuff that they're not doing right.
Let me shut the fuck up.
No, we want to know how you feel about this.
You want the truth, the honest truth?
The honest truth, brutal.
Okay. Anybody who decides to put pencil shavings or anything fucked up to someone's child, they have a right to beat that person apart a lot, beat the brakes off them motherfuckers personally. With no jail time, no nothing. Again, like, there should be some measure of discipline out there to where they look, they should call the parents and let them know that child is acting up or something like that. But when you take it upon yourself to, like, embarrass and demean a child, that has a lot of collateral damage that comes from that. So I know my mother, had she heard something like that, she would have been up there first thing, called off, and fucked that teacher up. I just know she would. But for some reason, it seems like the teachers have been left to become the parent or surrogate parents for the children while many so-called adults are out there chasing their childhood. So me personally, I would have beat the brakes off that teacher. I would have punched her straight in the throat and dragged her down the hallway. But that's just me.
So let me read you the top comments, you guys, on the news page. This is a top comment for what people are saying about this situation. It has over damn near 500 likes. Welfare moms ought to be forced to tame their children before sending them to the school, before sending them to taxpayers' classrooms. Why are teachers being forced to babysit rather than teach? And he has damn near 500 likes. Other people are saying North Carolina is wasting billions on preschool when it should be called free babysitting. Studies have proved that they do no good. People need to try and teach their kids at home to get ready and teach them to be quiet and listen. And the states also need to teach them the basics of that. But why is it costing us billions when the parents should be the ones teaching their kids? Other people are saying another person is saying, my bet is that the kid and the mom planned this whole thing out and had an attorney on a retainer before this incident occurred. The easiest way for a welfare bum to become a millionaire is a lawsuit accusing them of racism. Other folks are blaming Obama. Why does Obama get more blame than anybody I know? They blame Obama for every damn thing.
Yeah.
It should be raining today. Damn Obama.
Yeah.
He must be playing with that harp.
It was Obama's fault that the lights went out in the Super Bowl. It was Obama's fault that people were making these fucked up pictures of Beyonce on Facebook. Yeah. He's a scapegoat. You know, like,
now, Roshani is saying, I coach kids at various different elementary schools, and yes, the behavior in Central LA, where she's at, is atrocious at some of these schools. And I agree. Like, a lot of these kids are off the chain. I know Danica was saying that at the daycare that she works at, and she deals with kids who are under the age of 5, and they're off the hook, be cursing and going off. But, you know, it's easy to blame the kids, but at the end of the day, it's on the mothers, it's on the fathers, it's on the parents. Because obviously somebody's not teaching them discipline, somebody's not teaching them to respect elders, you know, and I don't know what this little boy did. I refuse to believe that the teacher just walked up to the little boy and said, open your mouth, and just poured pencil shavings in there. I'm not saying it's right what she did. That doesn't negate the fact. But what I'm saying is, what happened for her to do that? What was the tipping point? Was he running around the classroom? Did he threaten her? Like, you know, what happened? Because I just don't see somebody just walking up to you and just making you eat pencil shavings.
Boy.
I mean, come on now. I'm being real. Like, some of our kids are just out here, wow, you can't tell them nothing. You ain't my mama. That's the first thing kids love to say. It's like, little boy, be careful. I don't want you to get hit by a car. You ain't my mama. Okay, well, get hit. Have a good day. I mean, some of these kids is off the chain. Like, you just be trying to help them. Make sure you tie your shoes so you don't trip. You ain't my daddy. Oh, well, damn. Bless your ass. Have a good day. Some of these kids are a trip, yo.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so do you think the little boy did something? Because all these other people on this other site, because see, the initial story I read it on, it was on the black site. So all the black folks were like, she need an ass whoop. She need an ass whoop. Now I'm on CBS. I'm on their site. And you can tell it's a bunch of other people. And they're just like, it's typical welfare mom, typical behavior, you know. So,
yeah.
Crazy.
Just like that hood rat that got tased, and it's typical behavior, especially from hood boogers from across the spectrum. These kids are learning this foolishness from home, and there's a chance that this child actually was showing out. You know, it still didn't warrant someone putting pencil shavings in their mouth. There's other ways to do things, but still,
right.
You know, just you know, just the chance of pure ratchetness that took place is pretty strong, but still doesn't justify her course of action. She could have handled this a whole better way.
Right.
A whole better way.
And Rashani's making some good points. She's saying that they'll act up at school and then switch it up with their parents. She says she's witnessed it. She says the way they talk, their language that they use is completely different at home than at school. And then Rashani said that some parents don't know how their kids act and don't believe the teachers when the teachers tell them because their child puts on a good front at home. And that is very true, you know, but I think that's why you have to be honest with yourself. You have to have that open line of communication with the teachers. You know, you can't always think that your child is innocent. I can't stand parents who act like their kids are just fucking perfect and they can do no wrong. And you know what I'm saying? Please.
Yeah.
All kids have their issues. All kids make their mistakes. And you know your child better than anybody else. So I think when people point when people point stuff out, you got to just accept that. Now, if it's some fucked up shit like, you know, your child is in the classroom, you know, sucking dicks, then, yeah, you might want to question that. Like a five-year-old. Remember that shit that happened last week? The damn five-year-old giving head? I want to do a video about that, but I was so damn disgusted. So I probably hurt some feelings. And then the stupid-ass mama got the nerve to be on TV. That fucking raggedy-ass weed. I don't know where my daddy got that from. She ain't never seen me suck no dick.
You know what, T? I'm going to be brutally honest about this because we didn't talk about this before the show. And I'm telling everybody this that's listening to the radio show. We all understand that truth is always going to be hate speech. So when you do your videos, when you speak on something and it bothers someone or someone says that you're hating or something like that, fuck that. Be genuine and honest. If it's bullshit, call the bullshit for what it is. Especially a situation like that where a five-year-old is getting caught sucking dick in school, something is fucking wrong. So, again, if you're talking about, I mean, if you got people flagging you because you're telling the honest truth and they don't want to face themselves, fuck them. People need to appreciate genuine honesty because if it's bullshit, talking around it ain't gonna help it. We gotta sit there and like make people uncomfortable with the stupid ass shit. And again, you know, to sit there and say not all. A significant number is still doing it, so that's not even a acceptable answer either. So if you got people getting mad at you because you're putting out truth out there and you adding humor to it, and you can't allow them to sit there and punk and bully or control what you say. You shouldn't.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, me and Ronan talk about all the time. Like, I'm to the point now, we got about 7 minutes left, and I'm just writing some stuff in the chat, but I'm to the point now where I kind of almost want to quit YouTube. And I've been doing it for 3 years, and I've really been. Damn, she said I save all your videos on my drive. Thank you. Glad I have a backup. But I'm to the point where it's just it is very stressful. And when you tell the honest truth, and if, you know, you never have to agree with me. I don't expect for anybody to agree with everything I say. You know, that's just creepy. You never supposed to agree with somebody 100%. But at least let me have the right to say what I feel. You know, and it's like, it's to the point now where I just shy away from making certain videos because people just feel like they just have the right to just fucking attack me for anything I say. Like, I could be like, okay, well, you know, you should be sticking up for yourself. You shouldn't let bullies, you know, beat you up. Oh, that's hate speech. You're trying to make kids fight. How the hell did you get that from this video? You know, so it's insane, you know, and I wanted to do the video about the five-year-old giving head, you know, to people in her classroom. I mean, that's sick. That's a little girl who's watching her mother. She's getting that from her mom. You know, she's watching her mom do that. A five-year-old is not born to know how to perform oral sex to the point that she done turned out the little boys in the classroom that they want to keep getting head from her. You know, this is sick.
Yeah.
And instead of people addressing that, they want to shy around the issue and not, you know, speak on it. And then they interview the mother, and she's like, well, I don't know where she got it from. She told me that she learned it from another little girl. So just a bunch of five-year-old girls are just out here sucking dick. Like, come on now. Four different family members then pointed to your daughter and said that your daughter was the aggressor and that she was giving boys head in the bathroom and in the classroom. And then instead of the mother taking responsibility and saying, you know what, I got to get to the bottom of this. Maybe my child was molested. Maybe one of my boyfriends touched her. The mother sits there and blames another five-year-old child. Tell me, well, my child says she learned it from her. But if I talk about it on YouTube, then it's going to be some type of, oh, you're talking about sexualization of children, and I'm offended, so fuck it.
But hold on,
I'll just talk about it on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, T, you and I have been on YouTube like we're on since 2008, and we've seen some, even the most horrendous shit, and that is not flagged on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people say, like, fuck it, if they flag your account, do like Tommy does. Make another one. Fuck, if they make that much energy to fucking get out there and chase after you and try to piss you off, piss them motherfuckers off. Again, if you can't face yourself, fuck yourself. That's how I feel about it.
Right, but I don't have that type of energy, and I have a life outside of YouTube.
If you, again, you need a
portable
hard drive. Yes,
we're down to the last 5 minutes. Huh?
If you need a portable hard drive, get that. Again, you enjoy making videos. You do what you're supposed to do. So why are you going to allow them to try to punk you? And that's basically like them coming and knocking in your door and like, all right, come on in. They move their shit in, and they take a shit in your bathroom, don't flush, watch TV with no drawers on, and you complaining.
Well, then shut your ass up with that nasty-ass analogy.
It's the same shit.
No, I mean, it's just irritating. It's just irritating. But no, I get what you're saying. But it's just irritating because it's just like, I just get tired of, like, having to defend myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, constantly having to explain myself to motherfuckers. Like, I'm just going out where I'm not explaining myself anymore. Like, just leave me the hell alone. If you don't agree with my stuff, you don't like my videos, don't watch my videos. It's just that simple.
But, T, I'm telling you, like, real life shit, people have been fucking with me, you, and a lot of other people. But you know what? I told you the whole thing about verbal jujitsu. Fucking, you start talking that shit, I'm going to cut your head off verbally. And I'm going to have fun with it at your expense. So you may not do the same thing I do, just pretty much kick people's head around on the floor. But the fact that you continue to speak on, that's what you're supposed to do. You have a right to speak up. You have a right to, be yourself. And you got people who genuinely like who you are, just like how they do me. So, again, you can't allow them to get their little rocks off to saying that we silenced you. Fucking, again, it's nothing to make another channel. It don't mean shit. You're doing what you're doing. You got people who stay informed by what you put out there. It ain't like you're sitting there beating people up just for the sake of it. You got people who look to be educated. They appreciate your honest views. So to allow them to take that shit away, that's outright bullshit. So they got a problem.
Right.
They can stick a fucking spike bat up their asshole and land on the hood of a car.
I feel you on that one. Yep, there are. There be all types of nasty stuff on YouTube, like the tampon video and everything else. And that video was disgusting, but that stuff stays up. It's insane. Like people feel some type of way, and I don't have the energy. It's just like it's insane. But yeah, I mean, I'll be back making some more videos. But I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm gonna be in Vegas for a week. I'm out. I'm tired of this damn snow. I'm tired of dealing with YouTube and their fucking nonsense. Every time a bitch wants to complain to them about some shit on my video, like you're so offended. I have a bitch offended by my ratchet video. My the one I did. Calling out Ratchet Girls. Ratchet Girls be like my comedy skit. I have a bitch write me emails offended by that shit. Obviously, you see yourself in that video if you're so offended.
But you're not going to please everybody. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
Of course not.
And they're still getting mad. So all you're going to do is take your vacation when you need to, enjoy yourself, come back and shit on them with extra peanuts and corn. That's what you're supposed to do. Again, it's like the better version of CNN. There's no fluff. There's no bullshit. There's actual fun to it. There's an educational portion of it. Now, these dumb motherfuckers who ain't got shit else to do or live for, who continue to harass and try to, punk you out of your opinion and everything like that, I told them they can headbutt a running chainsaw. That's how I feel about it. So if you don't like
my channel,
you can leave my channel. Now, if you want to put a comment up there, I'm going to embarrass your ass. And, if I feel like making a video about you, what you going to do, get mad? That's going to make me laugh and make more fun of you. I'll make a series if I need to. You don't want that content. So you shouldn't have to get upset and complain about them, saying whatever they say or do what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. They're your disgruntled fan base. Now, again, if you got them people bitching and complaining on your on your channel or trying to confront you, the best thing you do is, like, show respect by farting in their face. At least you're speaking their language.
Oh, I put down 10 seconds left. I'm sorry, y'all. It's our time. I meant to put down 10 seconds left. My mind is in the gutter. We're down to 9 seconds. I meant sex. S-E-X, not sex. S-E-X.
Word?
Oh, my God. I can't spell. I mean S-E-C. Bye, you guys.
Wow. Wash your hands.
I put about 10 seconds left. And I put down 10 seconds.
Audio porn. All right.
I will see you guys next week. We're about to go ahead and end this episode. I'm so ready to fly up out of here and have a good time. So bye, you guys. Talk to y'all later. Deuces.
Bring me $20 back.